Jimmy? Well, you know, he's young in the Lord. Amen? Don't ever forget that. He's young in the Lord. Jimmy? What is the little Jimmy? You want to come sit on my lap up here, Jimmy? No? You'd rather not?
No.
Okay, I want to ask you what you want for Christmas. Ryan, how you doing? What's the Christmas story? Do you know? Just three words, all you got to come up with. No? Should I ask your sister? Okay. She's the one that talks most in the family anyway, right? What's a Christmas story, Taylor? Birth of Jesus Christ. Isaac, what's the Christmas story all about? Do you know? Isaac's one of these, he's very cerebral. He's always thinking. He's like a chess player. He's always thinking three moves ahead of you. And he don't talk much, but when he talks, it's usually four words, and it's extremely profound and direct, right to the point. Oh, yeah, that's him. Caleb, what's the Christmas story? Oh, boy. Let me ask it this way. Who is it that puts all them presents under your tree? No, you know better than that one. You know better than that one. Who puts them under your tree? Don't look at Isaac. It ain't him. Say, Mom and Dad. Mom and Dad. Never mind. We'll just go to the Bible. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Luke, chapter 2. We're going to read it. But I had a point in all this, and you just never... People in Hollywood will tell you, if you want to save your career in Hollywood, don't ever work with animals and don't ever work with kids. So if I want to save my ministry, never work with kids. Amen. Do you believe the Bible? You should. It's the book of eternal life is what it is. It's the words of eternal life. And I always just pray every time this year, Lord, what would you have me to preach? I had a really good message that I was thinking about giving this morning. And it didn't really have anything to do with the coming of Christ. And let me just say this. I always try to say this every year. There's people out there who want to put a guilt trip on everybody. They're saying things about December 25th and all this stuff. And there's a lot of truth to it. I know quite a bit of stuff. But one of the things I do know is that to a born-again Christian, the devil does not own December 25th or the 26th or the 27th or the 28th or the 24th or today. What's today? The 23rd? He doesn't own this day. The Bible says this is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Can I get an amen out of somebody? Now, and some people are saying, well, Christmas is not in the Bible. It's not a holiday that's in the Bible. Okay? There's no commandment to celebrate this day. Is there not liberty? Is there not freedom? Did the Jews receive a commandment in the days of Esther the queen when the conspiracy to kill all the Jews was discovered? And Mordecai came in riding on a white horse because he was to be honored. And when the Jews, when the king Ahasuerus realized that there was a decree to kill all the Jews, he circumvented that and he saved the Jews on that day. And they were so thankful, they decided to have a feast day on to celebrate that day. It's called Purim. And they still have that holiday to this day. And it was never given to them by commandment. It was done out of a loving heart and out of free will. You see, there's something that some people just never understand about good Bible Christians is that we don't do everything by commandment. You don't have to make us do anything. We worship the Lord because we want to, because we love Him, because He came for us, because He died for us, because He rose for us, and He's coming again for us. And so if you want to worship and celebrate that, do it today while we're in the house of God. Can I hear you say amen? Do it tomorrow if you think of it. Especially do it Tuesday when you're going to have family members around you, probably lost family members, who all they want to do is eat and drink all day long. Tell somebody about Jesus that died on the cross for them. Can I get an amen? Luke chapter 2, verse 1, it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city, and Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Why is that important? Because the Messiah, the Christ, was promised to come out of the house and the lineage of David. All the way back in the book of Genesis, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. Shiloh was another name for Christ. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. David was of the tribe of Judah. And so the Bible says in verse 6, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign. Yeah, amen to that. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Did you know that some of the other Bible translations mess this all up? And especially in the Catholic version, they say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men of goodwill. That's not what it says. And peace, God's peace that He wants you to have, is not just to the people of goodwill. It's not just to the good people. It's the bad people too. They need it probably worse than anybody. Can I hear somebody say amen? And it came to pass as the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Now all they that heard it wondered at those sayings which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these sayings and pondered them in her heart. Do you believe the Bible this morning? Say amen. Amen. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Matthew if you would. Matthew chapter 1. The Bible gives you the details of who Christ was, how He came to this earth, what was His purpose. The Bible tells us that in the book of Psalms, in the book of Hebrews, that before Jesus came to this earth, He said, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do Thy will, O God. You see, Christ recognized, even when He was a young boy, Christ recognized and knew that Joseph was not His father. He was not the son of Joseph. He knew that God was His father. They found Him in the temple, teaching the scribes and the Pharisees and asking them questions. Mary came after they had been searching for Him for a few days, came to Him and sort of chided Him a little bit. That, you know, your father and I have been looking for you. That's what she said. But Jesus turned and looked at her and said, wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? He knew that Joseph was not his father. He knew that God was his father. And so we see that here in verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together. Do you believe the Bible or not? Before they came together. Before that. Because it was prophesied in the Old Testament that behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. So before they came together, and she was found with child of the Holy Ghost, God put him in there. Amen. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. He thought maybe he should divorce her because here she is with a child and he does not want the public shame on her. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name what? Everybody say it out loud. Jesus. And let me say something to you. That's all capitalized in your Bible, in your King James Bible. That's drawn to your attention. I'm telling you that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Amen? There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And that is the name of Jesus. In Hispanic, in Spanish, he is Jesus. In Greek, it is Iesus. In Latin, it is Iesu. In other dialects and languages, it is pronounced differently in other places of the world. But it's the same name, Jesus. And I know who he is. He's the Son of God. For he shall save his people. Let me give you a little lesson here. The names like Isaiah, Hosea, Joshua, all that we find in the Old Testament, all of them have to do with the word Hosanna that they proclaimed to Jesus when he came to Jerusalem. All of those words have to do with salvation. That's how you say it in Hebrew. It's Hosanna or Hosea or Joshua or Isaiah. They all have the same idea of being saved. And right here, you don't even need the original to tell you that the name Jesus means he's going to save them from their sins. Because it tells you right here in the English, for he shall save his people from their sins. That way the Bible is just telling you, just say the name Jesus and you know that he's going to save you from your sins. Amen. Verse 22, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and they shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And then Joseph, being raised from sleep, as did the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took him and his wife, and knew her not. See, I believe that one too. Amen. Knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Do you believe the Bible? Say amen. Now I want you to notice this. This is kind of what I'm going to preach on this morning. Just lay out a very, very simple idea for you this morning. I want you to think this morning about some of the great things that has been done in your life. I want you to think about who in here loves their wife? Raise your hand. You love a wife. Amen. Okay. Care about her. Okay. I want you to think about the great thing that God... Men, I want you to think about the great thing that God has given you in your wife. Okay. The great blessing that she is. I want you to think about that. Ladies, I want you to think about your husband. Think about the wonderful husband. I don't think about all the bad stuff that you yelled at him about last week. I don't want to hear... This is not that time of year. Amen. Save that for Halloween. Amen. Okay. Think about your husband. Think about how much you love him. And think about how much God, the blessing that God has given you this man. Okay? Think about those things. Think about the greatest blessings that God has given you. The blessings of a home. The blessings of a family. The blessings of salvation. Think about the time when you finally just broke down and went to God in prayer and said, God, I'm helpless. I can't do this. God, I have no help at all. God, would you help me? And think about the time that God helped you. Think about the time, the personal revivals that you had. Not the revival meeting we had here at church, but the personal revival, the renewal that came to your life when you finally surrendered to God and said, God, here it is. God, I need some fresh air breathed into my life, and how God done those things. Think about all the good things that God has blessed you with, and they're all symbolized by a birthing process. If you think about a birth and what it means, you know that, and ladies, you understand this, you remember that there is a travailing that comes before the birthing. There's always a hard time. There's always a lot of pain. There's always a lot of misery. There's always a lot of discomfort. There's always a lot of worry that maybe something may not happen, or it may be wrong, or this and that and the other. But the Bible says in John 16, when the man-child has come, then there is joy. And I want you to think about all the good things that you've got right now. And think about the travail and the waiting period and the patience that you've had to have. How many of you remember Alicia walking around here recently going, oh gosh, this is terrible. Well, yeah, he was 9 pounds. Okay? Oh, I want this thing out of me. I can't eat it. We had to put up with that. Oh, poor miserable us. Amen. But the joy through the gift of modern technology, I was in the room. Not in the room, but we were doing FaceTime on Lisa's phone. And they were aiming the camera at a wall. So I had to stare at the wall, but I could hear the sound of the baby going, ah! Sounded like a little pterodactyl. Ah! And everybody going, oh, it's a boy. Well, we all knew that. I remember the joy that was in that room on that day. I remember the joy that I saw in my wife on the day that our children were born. I remember those days. So God does good things with us. Amen? Remember the joy of getting an answered prayer. Remember the joy of somebody that you prayed for that got saved. And you see the joy in their life. Remember the joy of an anniversary gift or something like that. Just think about those beautiful things that God has given us. Now I want you to listen to this now. Every good thing that God has ever done for you, the devil has tried to come right after that and steal it away. How many of y'all know that? You listen to this now. Okay, this is a universal principle in the Bible. Matthew chapter 2, don't you look in your Bible. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born? I want you to notice the phrase now, King of the Jews. Now, I'm going to stop right here, and I want us to pray. Ask God to just give us a very simple little blessing today, all right? Out of this message, I want you to understand the King of the Jews and who hates him. Heavenly Father, I do ask God that you bless this message. And Lord, Father, that you'd present it to these people in such a way as they would understand. Lord, it calls them to be thankful, dear God, for what they have and what you've done. Lord, if there's somebody here, God, that is without this morning, without Jesus, without a Savior, without the blessing, without a promise. Father, it used to be, Lord, when Christmas time would come around, even lost people would come to church. Lord, we just don't see a lot of that anymore. People are turning their backs on you. They're turning cold to the gospel. They don't believe it anymore. It doesn't mean as much as it used to anymore. And Lord, I pray for a day, God, when you would turn this nation and our people, Lord, our people here, that you'd turn us back to the gospel and turn us back to righteousness. Lord, Father, open our eyes and help us to see how you work and how the devil works. We love you and trust you. Lord, help us to see the King of the Jews this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Verse 2 again saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Now here's something very interesting to me. That from the time that he was born, he was given the title King of the Jews. What was it placed upon the inscription tablet above the cross? He's the King of the Jews. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. He was proclaimed King of the Jews at his birth. And he was King of the Jews at his death. By the way, he still is King of the Jews. Death did not stop that. Amen? Okay, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. People have asked what kind of star that is. Well, if you believe the Bible, you know what that is. That was an angel. It was an angel. I mean, just look at it. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with it. Why was Herod troubled? Why was Herod troubled over a little baby that these men came from the east and said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Why was Herod troubled over this? Because he was already King of the Jews. Herod, that's who Herod was. He was already their Lord. And I would say something to you. Do you remember when you got saved? You remember the day. Sterling, you remember the day you got saved. It was in your living room, wasn't it? Glenn Rakeb came over there and knelt at your coffee table and Sterling got saved. And I would tell you, listen to this now. The day that he got saved, His fight with sin, as far as what God was doing with him, was over. But from that moment, the devil declared war on this man, because before the day that he got saved, the devil was king and God of this man's life. Whatever the devil said to do, that's what he did. He obeyed the devil and his father, the devil. He obeyed that guy until the day that he got saved. And upon hearing that he gets saved, now the devil is threatened and the kingdom of the devil is threatened, because God has declared that the devil has no more dominion over Sterling Leonard. Has no more dominion over him. He cannot make him do anything that he used to do. And so now he is threatened and his kingdom is threatened. And what he's tried to do, am I not right? What he's tried to do since that day in your living room, he's tried to conquer back what he used to have. Is that true? How many of you know that to be in truth in your life? From the day that you got saved, the devil has stopped at nothing to try to get you back. How many of you know that to be true? Say amen. So here is Herod right here. Guess who he is? He's the devil. Or he's a picture of the devil, and the spirit of the devil is working in him. If Herod would have been a true godly king, the way the book of Deuteronomy prescribed for him to be, if Herod had written him out a copy of the book and he wanted to do the will of God, upon hearing that Christ was king of the Jews, Herod would have went to meet him, to worship him, to bow down before him and cast his crown at his feet and say, I am nothing and he is everything. He is to be your Lord. But that's not what he did. He was troubled in his soul, and so what? Verse 4. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together and demanded of them where Christ should be born, and they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. How did they know that? They all knew. They all knew who he was. They knew he was Christ, the King of the Jews, and according to the scripture, they knew where he was going to be born. So they went to the book of Micah. And they said in verse 5, and they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. In the book of Micah chapter 5, you'll find this. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. I like it. If you go back to Micah chapter 5, you know what you'll find there? Whose goings forth have been from old, from ancient times. You know what that means? That means when the earth was first created, he was already there. Whose goings forth have been from old, from ancient times. That means Christ never had a beginning. That means he'll never have an end. Amen? Never have an end. God did not choose for us a temporal ruler that had a beginning and one that will have an end. God chose for us a king over us who always was, always is, and always will be. That's what the Bible declares him to be. And so in verse 7, then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search out diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. He sounds so spiritual, doesn't he? He's lying through his teeth. He doesn't want to worship Christ. He wants to kill him. He wants to devour him. I'll show you that from the Bible. When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them. This was not just a regular, this was not Alpha Centauri or Betelgeuse. That's a real star, by the way. It's not just a movie. Okay, or let's see, what are some of the other stars' names? Anyway, it wasn't them. This was an angel that guided their path. Angels are stars in the Bible. Go read the Bible. It went before them until it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. A lot of sermons have been preached. I almost preached it this morning on the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But a greater gift that you give to God. By the way, whose birthday are we celebrating anyway? Be a shame for him to be the only one that didn't get a present. And he doesn't want your gold, doesn't need your gold. He lives in a city that's paved with it. Amen. He doesn't need the physical things of this earth to build his empire. What he wants more than anything is your heart, your belief. And being warned of God, verse 12, in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own way, unto their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. I want you to look at the word destroy. Think of a destroying spirit in the Bible. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. He was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Verse 16, I want you to notice this, and I want you to think of this in light of what kind of monster goes into a school and shoots 20 little kids. What kind of monster does that? By the way, you say what you want to about me. I don't care. I think it's good that we don't have this guy running the streets anymore or in our prison system. I think that's good. Because these guys are monsters. Now I want you to think of what kind of monster would kill children for their own personal benefit. And that's Herod. But Herod has a spirit on him. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time that he had diligently inquired of the wise men. 2 years, every child, 2 years old and younger, from Bethlehem to all the coasts. Every child 2 years old and younger was killed by the edge of a sword. That number could have been in the hundreds, even the thousands. Who knows? That's a monster. Amen. To just go and brutally slay all of those kids just for your own political benefit because you're afraid of a little baby named the King of the Jews. There's something wrong. Something wrong. And let me say this. You reject Christianity. You reject Christ. That's your choice. You can if you want to. There's lots of people out there don't want anything to do with Bible Christianity. That's fine. I understand that. But then there's those that are out there that's not just content with them not believing it. They don't want anybody to believe it. So the atheist, some atheist society in New York City, put up a big banner. Had a picture of Santa Claus, and it said Christmas. Keep the Mary, which was Santa Claus, and forget the myth. And under that, they had a picture of Christ dying on the cross. They said, reject the myth. You know who they are? They're Herod. They're Herod. They're not just content with not believing in Christ. They're going to go after him and try to kill him off in the minds of the American people. That's who Herod is. And others like them in Congress, in the political organizations, and your friends, and your co-workers, and your family members who have rejected Christ. They want nothing to do with him whatsoever, but they're not content with just not being a Christian. They're going to go after you and try to mock and try to bring you down from your position and try to and make fun of you. They're trying to kill Christ in you. They're Herod. And the Herods of this world will pass away, and Jesus is still alive. Somebody say amen. This world's full of them. He killed all the children. In verse 17, then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet. In Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And I want to stop right there, and I want you to understand this concept now of destroying the Christ, destroying the King. destroying, the devil going after the good things that have happened in your life. I want you to take your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 12. And you're actually going to see the devil doing this or trying it. So you know what spirit Herod had. Revelation chapter 12. God drew a picture of this, what this looks like in the spiritual realm. Revelation chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered." I mentioned a while ago, I want you to think of now the great things that have happened in your life. I want you to think of maybe, think of a child that's been born. Or I want you to think of maybe the day that you got saved. And I want you to think of then all the travail and the problems that led you to being converted to Christianity. Because more than likely, if you got saved, there was a troubling and a travailing in your soul. And there was a fear in you. Christina, I remember the day you called me on the phone. I remember that. I'll never forget that as long as I live. There was a troubling in your soul. And I remember there's been times in my life, the greatest things that God has ever done in me or through me, there's been a severe troubling, a severe trembling, severe pain and trial and tribulation. And it was almost like a woman in travail, a lot of crying and a lot of sorrow. I remember things like that. And when don't get me wrong, I pray for people that I see crying and that I see hurting. But when I see somebody in my family or somebody in this church, somebody that I'm close to, somebody that I love here, when I see you going through a tough time, and I mean a really tough time, I'm almost, there's a part of me that's actually glad for that. Because I know, and this is something that I know from experience, I know from the Bible. I know that when I see you troubled, I know that God more than likely is on the verge of birthing some good thing in your life. Roy, I was with you and Bonnie during this whole sickness this last time Bonnie was in the hospital. And I saw the travailing of your soul and I saw the things that you went through. And now this man stands here and testifies. God took a bottle out of his hand, put a Bible in it. And for the first time that since he's been to this church, we're actually seeing the real Roy without his glasses on, his sunglasses. And the troubling and the travailing that he went through is now worth it. But the destroyer, the devourer is out there because he wants to devour it up. And let me tell you why. Let me just kind of tell you why. Did you know, I mentioned about Sterling a while ago. I mean, this guy's tough. This guy's worked his way through life and he's tough, all right? And I kind of kid around. I think he could whip me. But the truth of it is, I would never want to get in a scrap with this old man. Because if he didn't whip me, I know his daughter would. Okay? But let me tell you about this guy. As tough as he is, did you know, David, that he was just a little baby at one time? Little crying little diaper baby, Caleb. That's who he was. Someone who had no strength. Someone who had no fortitude. Someone who couldn't take care of himself. But watch this now. Watch this. The longer he was allowed to live, the stronger he became. Until there was a time when he stood up on his own two feet and he became a man. And then he became a new man in Christ. And see, here's what I've seen as a pastor. Young people who come to the cross, they'll come to Christ. They're like a new, Bible says they're a newborn babe in Christ. And you know what that means? That means they're going to need a whole church to surround them and help them grow. Because they're in the first parts of their life, their new life in Christ. The devil knows that if he can get them, then it's going to be easier. Because the longer that you're allowed to live in Christ, the stronger you become and the more you're able to stand. And at some point, you don't need somebody feeding you anymore. At some point, you don't need... Hey, listen to me. At some point, and it's good to have a teacher and it's good to have a pastor, and I enjoy being that. But at some point, you just are able to read the Bible on your own and get as much out of it as I do. And the devil knows, Sterling, that at that point... I mean, I don't see you walking out of church one day and say, you know what, I'm going to the bar. I've had enough of this little deal here. I don't see him doing it. You don't either, do you? You know why? He's gotten to where he can stand up his own 2 feet now. He knows how to read that Bible, and he does. He knows how to believe that Bible, and he does. And he knows that from here on out, he's going to stand for Jesus. So the devil knows he can't get this guy. So he's going to go after, in this church, he's going to go after the weak, those who are just born, the newborns, the new Christians. That's who he's going to go after. Does that make sense to everybody? So look what happens. Okay? So anyway, a crown of 12 stars. Verse 2, and she being with child travailed in birth and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman. Why did he stand before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child when? As soon as it was born. Herod is acting this out right here. The child, he knows because of the time frame. And by the way, the wise men did not go to the manger. Some of you are going, but I've got a nativity set in my living room. And there are wise men there. The wise men did not go to the manger. This was a span of somewhere between 1 day and 2 years. That's why Herod had all those babies, 2 years old and younger, killed. He wanted to make sure that in that 2 year time frame, he didn't know when it was, but in that 2 year time frame, he was going to make sure he killed the one that was going to be the king of the Jews. The wise men did not come to the manger. The shepherds did. So take the wise men off your little manger scene, okay? And then build you a little house over here with a little toddler Jesus in it. And then you can put the wise men in there because that's probably where they were, somewhere in Bethlehem. Just thought I'd throw that in there, all right? Anyway, now if you've got something like that, don't worry about it. Let God be true and every man a liar, amen? Okay, but here's the thing. Herod knew, I got to get him while he's young. The devil knew, I got to get him while they're young. So I want you to think about good things that God has done in you. Think about the day that you got saved. And boy, you just felt alive. You felt like you was going to take on the world. And you was going to storm the gates of hell with a little water gun is what you were going to do. And then lo and behold, here comes the devil right then. Boom, boom, boom. Trying to nail you. Boom. You're really not saved. You just sinned. Boom. See, you're really not a Christian because you still want some of the old things you used to want. Boom. That preacher Mike, he's just feeding you a bunch of lies. Boom. Hey, you want a drink? Hey, you want a beer? Hey, you want to hang out over here? Hey, you want to say this? He's always after you when you get saved. He's trying to devour you. He's trying to destroy you. He's trying to eat you up. He does not want you to become part of what will be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He does not want you to be a part of that. Because he knows, Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman's going to bruise and destroy the head of the seed of the serpent. He knows that. He knows it. And if he can destroy while they're young. And by the way, I'll say this. I know I have a preacher friend, and we've talked about this, and I've just seen this. I'm not going to say anything specific. I'm not going to try to get you to go back and whatever. Who in here, you just raise your hand, say, thank you, God, for saving me, making me who I am. Amen? Amen. Now, I want you to listen to me. I don't know this to be 100% true. But I guarantee you, those who serve the Lord and those who are really on fire for the Lord, and I'm not saying you have to go evangelize whole neighborhoods. I'm just saying you just love the Lord and you pray and you seek Him out and everything like that. More than likely, the devil tried to get you when you were little. He came after you when you were in your innocence to try to lay on you and destroy you before you ever even had a chance to mature. I know it in my life. I've talked to a pastor friend of mine. That fact, he came here and preached, and he's told me, and he's told this church about things he endured as a child. And he is one of the most godly men I've ever met in my life. But we both agreed, it just seems like the devil comes to devour us when we're little, to destroy us. And if that's anything like that has happened to you, let me tell you, the devil can smell a Savior coming a mile away. And he knows that God had big plans for you and big dreams for you. You think of it that way. To devour her child as soon as it was born. I want you to take your Bible, turn to the book of Exodus. Let me just read this very quickly if you don't want to go there. Exodus chapter 1, verse 10. Here is Pharaoh. Come, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it came to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Let me tell you why. When you were little, the devil went after you. He knew that at some point you were going to join God's army and you were going to fight against him. And he said, if I can destroy them when they're young, I'll destroy them. And a lot of the things that we see people dealing with right now, drug addiction, sex addiction, and all kinds of different terrible things that people are dealing with, depression and things like that, can be traced to their childhood. I'm not one of these psychologists. I think we need to go and relive this now and tell all the... The Bible says, forget those things that are behind. Let us press forward. Amen. It's in the past. Don't worry about it. That was simply the devil trying to conquer your life at a young age. He was trying to devour you as soon as you were born. But God saved you and God protected you and God kept you. And now God has saved you and he has put you in his army. And now you are a threat to the kingdom of the devil. Do you know why? Do you know why you are? Because you're blood bought. You're part of the body of Christ. And he cannot destroy you. That's why you're a threat. You're a resister. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And all you do is just stand. You say, but Brother Mike, I'm not telling you everything. I'm not a good person outside this church. And I really struggle with this and that. I'm having a hard time and it's just really bad. Yeah, but you're here. You know why you're here? Because you still know and you still believe that the Bible's right and that God's grace is sufficient for everything in your life. And you know for a fact, that everything that has happened to you this week or this month or this year, you can come cast it down at the altar and say, God, here it is. I'm going to let you have it. And it's over and done with. And you're still standing. And the devil cannot stand a standing Christian. He hates him. Let me tell you this, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may, what? Devour. That's what Herod is pointing out to you. God knew it. God had a way of saving. And the Christ child, the King of Kings, that Herod had purpose in his mind, as long as I'm alive, I'm going to have this child killed. It didn't happen, and it didn't work. Let me just give you this, and I'm going to let you go. Here's how God did it. Watch this now. Here's how God did it. As long as the baby Jesus was in the land of Judea, as long as Jesus was in the land of Judea, Herod had authority over him. He was the king over him. Is everybody listening to me now? As long as Jesus was in Judea, Herod was in authority over him. What did God do with Jesus? Took him out of Judea, put him where? In Egypt. Now Herod has no dominion over him whatsoever. And the Bible doctrine of salvation is this, that once you become saved, the devil has no more dominion over you whatsoever. He can't have you killed even if he wants to, because God will not let him. God will not let him destroy you. God will not let him devour you. God will not let him kill you. And I mean, I'm talking spiritually. God will not let him do that. The things that God has given to you in your life, the greatest blessings that you have, they've been given to you by God. They've been travailed. They've been birthed. And now God will not let the devourer come devour them away from you, because he's taken the dominion away from him and put it under the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and they belong to him now forever and ever. Can somebody say amen? So you just think about this and you ponder this. Now that little thing that you're going to get for Christmas on Tuesday, Roy, okay? A year from now, number one, it probably won't fit, okay? Or you'll probably realize I didn't want this to begin with. Or the aftershave will run out, okay? Or it'll be broke. But the things that God gives you, I believe, according to Scripture, they're there forever. Amen? They'll be there forever. And he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And not even the devourer will come devour him away. Because God has a plan. I'd like for you to stand to your feet. And just in the quietness of the moment, I want you to think now, just with your head bowed and your eye closed, I want you to think now of the great blessings that God has given you. I want you to think of your marriage. I want you to think of your wife or your husband. Think about the family you have. Think about the blessings that God has given you. Think about your home. Think about the revival that you had. Where you just turned everything over to God and said, God, here it is, and God bless you. And you know that the devourer came to devour and to tear those things apart. Because eventually those things are a threat to him and will bring him down, and he knows that. Tell God thank you for the things that he's given you. Tell him thank you that he's taken away his dominion over you. And tell him thank you that even everything that the devil did devour, God rebuked the devourer. And God will give you back twofold, sevenfold, a hundredfold, all kinds of folds in the Bible. And God will bless you back with those things. You tell God thank you this morning. Heavenly Father, I come before you this morning, God, and I'm very thankful, dear God, for all the things that I have. You've been very good to me, God. I have not, same like, Lord, I've not been very good to you. But I'm thankful, God. I've seen the travail. I've seen, dear God, the anguish and the sorrow, Lord, that things that I've been through, trouble that I've had. God, you have brought me through those things and you've birthed some glorious, glorious things in me. And I thank you for that. And I know there's always going to be a Herod out there. There's always going to be a lion out there. It's going to try to take them away. Lord, would you rebuke the devourer for your kingdom's sake in our lives? Lord, give us back our Bible time. Give us back our prayer time. Give us back our time where we ponder the Word of God. And give us back those times, dear God, that the devourer devoured away from us. Give us back, dear God, that righteousness, Lord, that we tried to attain to, Lord, that we always failed in. Give us, Lord, of your righteousness that can be never be taken away. Lord, hear the prayer of your people this morning. Regard your saints. Regard those, Lord, that are crying out to you in a pure heart. And hear their voice this morning. Thank you, dear God, for deliverance and for your grace. And we thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. It's his name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Listen, appreciate you coming this morning. God bless you. Have a wonderful day this week. Come back. We are having church tonight at 6 o'clock. Please come and be with us and hear the preaching of God's Word. And we will be having church on Wednesday night as well. Wednesday night Bible study, midweek service. And it doesn't matter if we have no snow or 5 inches of snow. Yes. Yes. He's so excited. He said, we get a ride on the trash can lid. God bless you. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. All right. Ask God to bless this morning and sanctify this day. All right. God bless you. Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result
of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believed in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, God is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word. God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.